you're a survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. I'm going really well. Another week of Survivor over. A bit of controversy this week. In that last episode, my phone was just blowing up deluxe since it finished. So lots to talk about. Plenty of different opinions on what happened, what went down with Ray and everything. And I'm sure we'll get into it and, hopefully have a difference of opinion. But with three of us here today, I'm sure we will. So it should be a lot of fun today with our guest.
Definitely. Look, a controversial episode means we need to get in someone that's going to break the tension between the two of us just in case we start going at it, okay? We have the superfan himself, the LRG master. We have Chris Kelly on his 40th birthday. How you doing, Chris?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I couldn't think of a better way to spend my 40th birthday than doing this podcast and another podcast later for the Orcapod.
Holy shit. That is two in a night on your 40th birthday. Do you have a life?
I do, but unfortunately, Survivor's on four nights a week at the moment, so it's difficult to find a gap. And also, with having two kids and a wife, I can play the birthday card and do two podcasts in a day and sort of get away with it.
No, that's smart. Look, you obviously love what you do. The Orcapod is going great. You're counting down the best LRG seasons at the moment. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I got everyone that's in the community and anyone I could find on social media to vote for the 11 presently existing live reality games in Australia. For those listening to this that don't know that, they're mini forms of Survivor, maybe 2 days or 3 days. It's a great opportunity. Plenty of them are casting all the time to really play the game without playing the real game, which can be difficult for most of us. Will never get to achieve that dream. So live your dream through these examples. And what we like to do on the Orcapod is give people the full experience. So when the show is airing, we're going to do weekly episodes, and we do weekly episodes recapping the show, criticizing all of your moves, saying how much we don't like you, or in the case, sometimes we do like you. And we then do interviews with people when they're voted out. So we give everyone the full experience. Right now, it's a bit of a lull in the LRG space. There's not a lot coming out, which is great, because I'm doing this thing where I'm counting down one per month with four shows each month, every single one of these 11. We are currently finishing the fourth one of the bottom four. I didn't say where they came out of respect to the creators. But next month, we start the seventh best season of Australian LRGs, which is Melbourne Survivor 2. So we're on all the platforms. Have a look out for us. And if you haven't watched an LRG before, this is a chance if you're hearing about me to go check one out and maybe play one day. It's an amazing experience.
No, definitely, mate. Look, it sounds awesome, and obviously I've listened to you. That's why we brought you on, because some of your takes are that amazing. We needed you here, and we could not have picked a more perfect week. This week is controversy to the max. I know that my phone's been blowing up since it happened. I know that I've been blowing up on my phone since it happened. So there's definitely a lot of chat. Let's get into it. Mac, how do you feel about how this last fucking episode went down?
Oh, man, Raymond. Where do we begin? I just want to pose a question to both of you before we even start this whole chat about Raymond and his advantage. And the question is this the most villainous move of all time? Not often in Survivor do moral boundaries get touched, even get crossed. Very rarely. It's expected that when you come into the game, lying is acceptable. You could swear on your kids and your marriage and stuff. And it's not really seen as a bad thing. But I don't know. I'm still on the fence a little bit. But the way I see what Ray's done here, he sort of used a bit of like a mental health sort of, ploy to get himself all the votes and use this advantage. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. At first thought, I was really against it. I've had about 24 hours to think about it. Maybe I'm not as much on that side of the camp, but initial thoughts was, this is not good. I didn't like it. I'm happy to hear both sides of you two say what you think and get a better gauge on where I sit with it. So is this the most villainous move of all time? That is the question.
Chris, is this the most villainous move of all time?
I guess let's define villainous move, because look, arguably it was a move. It was an incredibly poor move, and it blew up in his face immediately. But what Varner did, did in Game Changers is the most villainous move, because it was personal, it was unnecessary, it wasn't an attempt at a move, because he was trying to get them to vote off Zeke for being duplicitous, for not telling everyone that he was trans, and they all reacted to that in the way they should and voted him the fuck out. Now, that was a move, a horrible move, but probably a move, and I think everyone's reaction at the time would say that was the most villainous, because that was crossing a line. Obviously, the most villainous move before this is you got the Johnny Fairplay dead grandma, which I think is getting a lot of comparisons just because of the fact that Raymond looks a bit like a Kmart Johnny Fairplay when you think about it, yeah. And plus the move itself. And that's full move, but using people's emotions, using people's heartstrings, using, you know, a death, and was a move that worked out for Johnny Fairplay. So I think the most villainous thing is Varner, but put that to one side, it doesn't really apply. I think it is up there with the dead grandma.
It is definitely up there with the dead grandma. Okay, but did you enjoy it? That is the real question.
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I have no problem with this move whatsoever. I think there's some subtle lines that we need to draw here, right? And there's a lot of comparisons to the Scott quit and how, you know, on social media, everyone was so angry about Scott. Well, not everyone, but a proportion of fans were angry about Scott quitting. And, you know, his mental health, and there's a lot of discussions about mental health. And to be honest, I'm not a person that has struggled with mental health issues, but I try and be empathetic with people that are. And I was listening to Shannon Gus's podcast, literally with Mike Bloom, where both of them have expressed and experienced mental health issues. And, you know, they gave a perspective on Scott's quit that I hadn't really appreciated. And I did quite understand it a bit better after listening to that. On the other hand, I just don't think Raymond took it that far. Like, he didn't say, I'm having mental health issues. I'm struggling out here mentally. Now, Ferris kept saying that, and if you want to put it on Ferris, you can. But all Ray said was, his heart's not in it, his head's not in it. And then he put on a performance to show that perhaps he was more mentally disturbed than he actually was. But I think he threaded the needle on a very, very difficult issue with a very difficult advantage as best as you possibly could.
Look, I definitely agree that he threaded the needle. I think this advantage is very controversial in itself. I think it's a very situational advantage, and I genuinely believe that if any of the other 10 players on this season got this, this was a storyline we never saw. They might have thought about using it, they might have talked about using it, but we never see that on the edit. I think everyone sort of goes out of their way. Ray, who is at the bottom as per a chance of winning, realistically, because he has been literally behind Ferris the entire time, he sees this as an opportunity. Now, I genuinely believe he has played this the only way that he can play this, being either at the final 11, final 10, or final 9 vote. I don't believe there is a way that you get 100% of the rest of the cast to vote for you, because people aren't that dumb these days. People just aren't that dumb. Unless you're a big threat and then you convince your alliance to also vote for you, there is no way this happens. And Ray, in his position, he played it the only way he could. I believe Valeria was the correct end result. I think that was a great strategic move for his and everyone else on the other side's game, other than possibly Kirby has probably a little bit more of a relationship with Valeria, so maybe not the best for her. But this going for, say, his own alliance in this was too big of a move and would have ended his game in the next few votes. Going for anyone else on the other side, the other people are options. Kitty has shown options of working with Ferris, etc. Caroline has some sort of relationship with Ferris, no matter how shit it is. And Mark is smart enough to have a relationship when needed, whereas Valeria, she's a lot more concreted in, she's a lot more unmovable and a bit harder to play with when you're against her. So I think all those are really good things. The actual advantage, I am struggling with. I'm struggling with this because Australian Survivor, the cast that you've brought into this season has made amazing TV. We are loving this season. There is definitely talk about this being the best Australian season of all time. And I believe that will continue even after this episode that we've just watched.
It is the best. It is the best season. I don't know how anyone can be.
Let's let it finish first before we say that.
Well, that's
but,
debatable. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, at the moment, at the moment, the trajectory is great, but it's not finished yet. It's definitely not finished. All I want to say is this cast has been amazing. It's been blindside after blindside. It has not stopped, and this advantage feels like it's forcing. It's overplaying. It's forcing the move. And especially coming down after the Scott quit, I really struggled to watch this episode and enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, I was not taking my eyes off the TV screen. I was entertained to the shithouse. But it was quite a struggle. It was quite full on. Especially Caroline. Seeing her, that motherly emotion come out of her, just wanting to help Raymond. Everyone screaming out, "Raymond, you're such a great soul. Raymond, I wish you stay." Stuff like that. And then him literally just cutting it. It just hurt. It hurt, but that makes good TV. I'm not going to ever say that that wasn't a fucking amazing episode.
I think we need to withhold judgment on how the players feel about this move until they come off the show or we get to final tribal council and we get their opinion if Raymond happens
Bullshit.
To be there.
Bullshit. Okay. No. CK, I'm going to throw back at you straight away. Okay. You've played an LRG. Okay. And not to mention people at the Australian Survivor level usually aren't going to respond bad to this. They, even if they were personally felt bad about it, they're not going to say they did. They're going to come out saying, "Oh, yeah, that was a great move. That was a great move." Valeria, I genuinely believe, because of how brutal she is and how to the point, she came out actually probably enjoying this a little bit. However, yeah. I know from Caroline, yes, Caroline is going to come out. She's going to say it's completely fine. There was no hard feelings or anything like that, but she was hurt. She was cut deep.
Maybe Caroline the most. But I think the rest have played enough in this game and are big enough players to respect that this is the move Raymond had to make. Now, let's put the advantage to one side. Should they have done this advantage? Probably not. It's a little bit stupid. It's unlikely to have any real impact. My view was, when it first came, was revealed, that all that would really happen is that it would result in a situation where it's played defensively. It's almost like an extra life idol. Like, if you just happen to get blindsided without realizing it by everyone, which is very unlikely in the three votes where it was operative, then it would save you. Sort of like if you ever played Legend of Zelda as a kid, when you died, you had a fairy in a bottle, it would come out and just bring you back to life. It could do that, right? Yeah. And obviously the show intended for it to do what it actually ended up doing. I think they sold it out that way when they gave the messaging, even on the advantage, not just the edit later. So should they have removed it following the Scott quit? Probably, because the only way to play it was to play this sort of mental health card. And that was like the only possible situation that could eventuate if you're going to try and do it. So should they have not had it? Probably. But okay, it's in. Now, so what Raymond did. Raymond is, as you said, the best person to get this advantage because he needs to do something and he needs to do something huge to have any relevance coming in to an option. If he makes the final three, if he came to the final three and did nothing, even if Ferris isn't there, it does not matter. He is not getting votes from anyone. Now he's made a move. It's early enough. Like, as you pointed out, Valeria is perfect because she doesn't care. She likes the move. I think Eileen and Jaden won't care. They'll be fine for it. And then everyone that now comes from, this is the most important part. If you've ever been on a jury in an LRG, there is a groupthink that happens. Or if you played an org, there's a groupthink that happens when people come off the show and into the jury. And the attitude of the jury, the attitude of the mayor as to the game that is being played, becomes the group think. So Eileen, I am sure, is like, great move. And she will hold that position. And then when you get there and the jury's like, nah, we love that move, it's very hard to start thinking a different way. And this is the problem with juries, but it's what happens. So I feel that on the whole, people are going to be pro Raymond's move. I think if anyone else did this, they'd be anti. But I think people would respect that's what Raymond needed to do.
Matt? Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure they would be. I just think, especially like this is probably a week removed after Scott's quit with mental health. Everyone was pretty sympathetic about it, and then I just feel like I know he never said mental health card or anything, but he never. The way he sort of goes about it implies, you know, I'm struggling mentally. You know, which is just, it's different to, you know, I'm not eating because I'm sick or anything. Because he never said he was sick. He wasn't eating, but he said, I'm just struggling. I'm not all here. My brain's not in it. Which sort of says to me, yeah, you know, it's a mental health thing. And after what happened to Scott, you think, well, we have to vote this guy out because we want to take care of him. And they're trying to do the right thing. And then for him to just turn around and then pick off someone who he wants. And, yeah, the whole Valeria thing, he picked the right person for his own game. That's fine. But I just didn't like the way he emotionally manipulated the people. And I know that's part of the game, and you know, sometimes it's fine and sometimes it's not, but I think this was, it borderline crossed that line, I think, for me. That's what I have an issue with. Now, the more we're talking about it, I'm slowly like coming around to your side, and I can see a bit more of the game move for it, but I still don't like it.
If you like Johnny Fairplay, you know, it's pretty much the same thing.
Well, that's the thing. Sure, you brought up Fairplay and Varner. I had dreams with the Yao Man, the car one. That was another one that I thought was, you know, outside the game factors which influenced game decisions. To me, that's pretty similar, like using your situation outside of the game as like a strategy to say, you know, give me the car and I'll give you the immunity later on. Yeah, then reneging on that deal. So I just thought, yeah, same sort of thing. Outside the game, yeah, whereas I had like Australian Survivor ones where, you know, when Sam takes Jesse's idol and votes him out, that's, to me, that's purely game related. There's no moral boundary at all because that's inside the game. There's no external factors. Whereas I thought this was probably a bit different.
Look, I really do agree that Raymond needed to do something big. He was turning into a zero vote finalist if he made it there at all, or fodder at like final six, final five, just a sort of a unanimous vote just to get someone out, just to, so then there's an extra spot for a big player. So he definitely needed to do something. Well, he definitely did it. He definitely did it. And he had the counterparts, Ferris, Kirby. They definitely helped. It ended up resulting in, like, doing the best this move could have been pulled off. And it was great. The issue I have, I guess, struggled with is the only way to pull this move off. And that's why I'm not enjoying it from a production side. I am not going against Raymond. I'm not going against Ferris. I'm not going against the cast for voting for Raymond, or that they may be hurt from this. I'm struggling with it from a production side. This advantage going to this player forces one move. And after what happened, I just feel like it's slightly too far.
See, I disagree. I don't think that this was the only move. I actually thought it was pretty genius what he came up with, despite the fact that he didn't like it. I thought the idea was, you know, how did he come up with that? I didn't think about it at the time. I just think it's probably, at this time of the game, it was never really going to happen. So for him to get it to work, you've got to give him some credit for that. But usually, you know, if you're going to a tribal council with, what, 10 people, 9, 8 people, you're always going to get a split vote anyway. So if they had it in the game a little bit later, it probably wouldn't have been as bad, because it might have just been like a pile-on vote, and it's his vote, you know, going the other way. But I think at this huge number, it's so hard to get it to work. So I probably have a problem with the timing of the advantage. I don't think the whole Scott thing should be taken into account from the production side, because they're not to know that Raymond's going to, you know, play this card and get it and use it this way. Because, I mean, I thought it was pretty genius thinking. So I can't really blame production for that.
Well, let's talk about the optimum move here. How could this have been either done better from production or from a castmate's decision? Like, so obviously in this case we have four, okay, in the alliances. If Raymond was a big enough target, the other alliance votes for Raymond to go out, and then Raymond convinces his alliance to vote for him, same mover happens.
Correct.
Okay, there is a strategy to this. This is a doable strategy with these numbers being with the alliances, or we won't even call them alliances, the voting blocks the way they are.
I think we need to also, I think you're spot on about that. And I think you need to be realistic that a week before this happened, production was probably certain that Eden was going to have this advantage before he was voted out. Yes, and there's a couple of reasons I say that. Popcorn, the movie guy, he's going to put $500 on that. Just
straight up.
Just with a confessional about it. Plus, he would know about David Jeanette and David Jeanette's popcorn idol. And he's the biggest super fan they've ever had on the show. He would think one-on-one, then he can make a reference about that. Eden's getting the advantage. I think Eden probably could have played it in the way that you're talking about a 5-5, because he was enough of a threat to get those numbers from the other side. But he's gone. But I reckon that was the thinking.
Yeah.
Should production make twists around who they think should get this random thing in an auction? I think that's really, you know, a bit far-fetched for them to really target one person. Like, unless you're putting it in their bag, you have to account for any sort of, you know, any sort of variable.
Look,
that's what I think production would have thought. Whether it's ethical or not, I'm not debating. No, but I'm just saying that is what they probably thought would have happened.
Yeah, look, we do know, like, production do put things in mind with people in mind. They don't give it to people. This isn't a scripted show. But it is, we do know that, like, perfect things come up at perfect times around, they could possibly help entertaining characters.
So what you're telling me is Ferris will get saved next week by a non-elimination twist.
Okay, let's continue down these optimal moves for this strategy. What about rehiding it? Giving it to someone that is an antsy player, someone like an Alex, that could blow up their game with it.
I like that. Rehide it, and you know what it is. So, you know, if we're all piling on, you just vote somewhere else, and then you still have that powerful vote, I suppose. Or that, you know, Alex would go home. That's a good strategy. I like that.
I think the risk of giving it to someone else, unless you're wanting them to blow it up and just get voted out because they can't get it right, is that you are giving power to someone to just choose who goes home. And so giving it to someone like Alex, who you can't really trust what he might do, would seem risky. Like, even Rihanna had this concern about Raymond having this power, hence the decision Kirby made to pass the necklace, which I would like to talk about.
Yeah, we will definitely get into that. That is definitely getting into at some stage.
But she was very paranoid, and I get it. I get why she was paranoid. I don't know why she was personally paranoid, because she would never be a sensible target for Raymond, despite how she is at immunities. Raymond isn't winning immunities, so he doesn't need to worry about the person that wins the immunities. But, you know, she could have been worried for Kirby, and I do respect that she might have been worried for her.
I think that if you rehide it without anyone else knowing, so you haven't told Ferris yet, you rehide it, you obviously work it out so then that person, like, you know who it is. Obviously, this definitely does clinch on to knowing who finds it. You can always plan against that, and you can make this quite easy. So I think rehiding it is probably one of the better ways to play this advantage or slash disadvantage that even Raymond called it. Just because there's no way, if you know, have the knowledge is power. If you have it, if you have the knowledge, if you know that they're trying to get all the votes on them and you vote the other way while all the votes are going on them, bam, they're gone. Or it's your vote. They're not forcing you to vote for them.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, call me boring, but honestly, I think the best thing to do with the advantage is not play it. Like, there's almost no upside to this advantage, and it's a huge risk on your own game. Like, I don't see it as a game-winning move if it comes off, because, I mean, I you guys say the jury might respect it. I totally disagree, and I just don't think it's worth it. Like, there's no need for this thing, unless you say, as Chris said earlier, use it as a second life. If you think everyone's putting all the votes on you, then play it. But really, with the tribes the way they are, there's never going to be a pile on from everyone. There's so many voting blocks moving around. So I just think the best thing is don't play it. I just think there's no upside to this advantage.
Can I just be clear? I don't think it's a game-winning move by any means, and I don't think Raymond's going to win. But if I was Raymond and I'd found myself and spent a month on Australian Survivor and had done absolutely nothing and I'm just Ferris's goat, as a fan of the game, which I think he is, I would be concerned that I'm now going to get dragged to the end as a GOAT and get zero votes, and that will be my legacy. And so I get why Raymond did it, because he's going to be remembered for this and not being a GOAT, and I'd rather that if I was him, if I was that person.
100%.
Yeah. Well, so yes, next on my list was just don't play the thing. As I said, we just don't play the thing. What you're saying there, Raymond could still be the GOAT if, like, we haven't seen everyone come back to the tribe. We don't see how they respond to him as of yet. I have a feeling it's not going to be horrible, just because I think all the cast know this isn't a game-winning move for Raymond. He's going to have to do a lot more to have even a chance to do anything. I still see him as, if he gets to the end, he could still be a zero-vote finalist in my mind.
He has the risk now of being what I call a hate GOAT. Like, everyone hates him, so he's not going to be a vote, right? Because of what he did. And, you know, this happens in games. I've played orgs particularly. You get dragged along as a hate GOAT. I'd rather be that than a, like, you did nothing GOAT.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. That is, it's like he's going to be known for something. His name is written down in the history books. It's going to be on Survivor Wiki. His name is somewhere and it's doing something. Good on him for doing what he could with this advantage. I've got nothing against Raymond for what he did. Oh, actually, I do. But anyway, that's beside the point. Let's fuck it. Okay. All right. I got another move, another option. Okay. You get out someone in your own alliance. You make this a huge move. Someone that knows about the advantage, and then you blindside them. You're Ferris, you're Kirby, you're Rihanna.
That seems suboptimal to me.
It's fucking horrible. Yeah, it's fucking horrible, dude.
Lots of people have been saying this on social media. It would be absurd. He would have nowhere to go after the vote. Yeah. Like, why? Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He might have got a few jury votes if he got to the end, but he'd have to like win out in like immunities or something to get to the fucking end, because it's just too big. It's too big, and he's got no alliance left.
And the problem
is he doesn't even have a great strategic relationship with anyone else. Ferris is the one that does.
The problem is that Ferris and Kirby are the power players, and they're the ones he's aligned to. So if they're like, I think people would say Valeria is not big enough of a target. And you know, earlier in the game, she was a bigger player, and I think in the last couple of weeks, she's sort of gone a bit under the radar. So she doesn't seem like a big move, and I understand that. But like, there's no one else he could realistically target, and he had his reasons for it. I think maybe, as you say, he was mindful of how she would react, which he shouldn't be positive. Mark's the other option, but I think Mark has proven himself to be so adaptable that everyone thinks they can work with Mark, whereas Valeria is very clear down the line, you're either working with her or you're not, and he probably didn't think she was ever going to work with Ferris or him.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. Well, that's all I've got. Is there any way we can make this more character-friendly? I think Max sort of presented this earlier. The right thing for this would be bring it out, instead of an idol, bring it out the week of the final five, final six, final seven.
Agree.
Is that's the better way to do this?
Yeah, I think it would go down a bit smoother. You wouldn't have to do it the way he did it. I think you could just do it organically as like just a normal vote where you're the target, and then it's almost virtually like an idol, just slightly different. So
yeah.
Australian Survivor has a poor history of running all sorts of stupid advantages up. Like when you're getting down to the nitty gritty in final seven, when the people that watch it would rather have those advantages limited. This production team, which is a new production team that took over in the prior season, clearly has a better ear to the ground on where Survivor should be. And like the way they've placed the non-limbs and things like that. I don't think that they would be silly enough to bring something this a bit OP at that point. I also want to talk about Raymond's edit versus this move. This move really sort of informs Raymond's edit in a lot of ways, in the way, similarly to how Charles's edit was informed by the fact that he got screwed by a bit of a dumb twist and they didn't give him any time, so none of the casuals gave a shit when he got voted out, right? That's how they did that. And they're like, oh, what a great move. We love it because we love Ferris and we don't care about Charles. Raymond's got almost no airtime. And when he has airtime, like the most memorable thing was when he said that really snarky thing about Eileen, which was actually sort of funny. But what they give him is lots of secret scenes. I don't know if you guys watched the secret scenes.
He's in lots of them,
and he's hilarious, right? So I feel like they're like, Raymond is for the super fans, and the super fans will watch the secret scenes, and they'll enjoy Raymond, and they'll enjoy this move, and they'll be fine with it, and it's Big Survivor, whatever. But we want the casuals to vilify Raymond and not think him as a funny joker. And so that's why I think we basically got no Raymond content up until now, other than the occasional one-liner. But it's so weird to have this guy's made such a big move be so purpled up until this point.
Well, that's the thing. If Ferris makes his move and we get the Ferris character we've seen the whole season, this is like, people will call it one of the greatest moves ever. Like, I just think, why would they have not pumped up Ray a little bit more, at least given us some more? Like, he's bottom of the confessional charts before this week. So I don't.
Did he even have a confessional before this?
He had three all season before this weekend.
And one was that snarky mark about Elaine, how she doesn't have anything to do when she finishes Survivor.
Look, I do want to jump in just quickly. Look, in Australian Survivor, obviously, confessional charts aren't perfect. It's more sentence charts. And Raymond has had a sentence here, sentence there, sentence there. But you're completely right, CK. The secret scenes are where we see that humour from Raymond, and every single person that's come out of the game has said how funny Raymond was, how much they enjoy being around Raymond. So he was definitely lovable. I didn't even see that. I love that he's been given almost the villainous effort. They've almost taught us not to love him.
Is this a sign that he doesn't win at the end? He makes it at the end and then loses. Oh,
really?
And just to justify the loss.
If you have to ask that question, get the fuck off.
I was making a point for the listeners, Buckle.
Thanks.
I'm actually incredibly unsure who's going to win for the first time in a long time. Unsure.
Well, can I just say four names that we did not think would still be here at Merge, and that's Caroline, Mark, Kirby, and Ferris. All four are now here still. That is crazy good TV. But then again, they did make us love it, and they did choose to make us love them. So, there you go. Okay, one last thing before we get off this and start getting into everything else, like Valeria pushing for Raymond to go and being the only one that we saw in the edit pushing for Raymond to go, is let's get into Valeria's jury villa. Jaden says in there that everyone's going to feel a little bit dirty about that move because they all felt sorry for him, right? And it's crazy that Valeria was the one that wanted him to go home, wanted to make a big move on someone else, and she's the one that cops the consequences. Jaden's obviously already feels like people are going to be a little bit upset. Is there a way to flip this? Now, we have talked a little bit about the jury stuff, but is there a way to flip this to make this look good? Can Raymond do a few more big moves for the rest of the game and still make this look good and say get the win?
I don't think the jury's going to mind that much. I see what Jaden's saying, but Jaden, and I actually love Jaden on this season. I was a huge fan. But, you know, he said on his other jury, Villa called his mum and he was surprised he had to vote people out and how hard it was. So, you know, he's there to be informed about the game. And I do believe the two people that are with him right now, Valeria and Eileen, will be like, it's fine, it's just game. And so that will be his view. And as people come on into the jury, that will be the group think about this move. But I think if Raymond could do a move like cut Ferris at the right time, he could really push himself up the charts as a potential winner. I don't think he can win based on the edit. But cutting Ferris at the right time, I don't think he would. But that maybe that would give him the credit.
Yeah, I think
Or it could be seen as too savage. Too savage. You don't even look after Ferris. He looked after you your whole life. You know?
Yeah.
If he comes back and just goes on like a massive apology tour and just says, hey, guys, like, I haven't done much this whole game. I wanted to just make a move, just to have something. I've been a fan my whole life. I think people might be able to understand that. So if he does that right and, yeah, they feel a little bit better, look, I don't think they'll be able to trust him with anything ever again, but they might be able to see past, like, the emotional manipulation of this move. And maybe considering for a vote at the end.
Yeah. I don't know if, like you said in the edit, you can't trust the edit because Australian Survivor, as I say, changed production team last season, and the Liz win was not telegraphed, really. And I think they're taking a bit of a modern American Survivor approach. And Raymond does have the potential. Look, I'm not saying it's possible, but he has the potential to be a bit of an Alla Gabler. And I'm a bit of a Gabler truther, but, you know, make a move and then just duck down again. And maybe he's at the end with, say, Kitty and Rihanna. He could possibly win in that three if he's made some other moves, which is sort of what happened with Gabler. Is it going to happen? I don't think so. But I'm not saying it's impossible, particularly with the way they edited Liz's win.
Yeah, I think just like modern day editing is literally just telling you what happened rather than trying to push you to like this person because they're going to win or whatever. They're literally just telling the story of what actually happened out there, which is probably more authentic to what's actually going on. So. Yeah, Raymond might not be doing much, but he might be the most loved person out there and he'll just get to the end and win. And the fact that we haven't seen much of him might just be because he's not doing anything. But, like, sociability and likability is such a huge part of a winner's game and it's so hard to show on the TV. But like you said, in all the secret scenes, everyone's laughing so much and saying how much we love Raymond. So, you know, just he's not making the moves, so we can't really highlight him. And when his best mate's Ferris, you know, the main character, it's hard to give Ray too much airtime, so... I don't dislike it. I actually prefer just tell me what happened out there rather than push an agenda one way.
Okay, so have we decided, is this the most villainous move of all time after all of this crap that we've talked for the last 30 minutes?
I think it's up there. I think, yeah, you talk about the fair play, you talk about Varna, you know, dreams with the car. Yeah, there's game moves, outside of game moves, but I would have this in the top, you know, It makes the countdown for sure, the top 10, if not the top 5.
CK?
Yeah, it's definitely top 5. I'd forgotten about dreams. I think Varna's the worst. Then dead grandma because production didn't put an advantage in there for Johnny Fairplay to actually make that up.
Yeah.
And then I would say this and then dreams.
There you go. Oh, well, we've got the top 4 villainous moves of all time. That's a pretty good list. There's some big names on that list. It's a pretty bad list now that I think about it, that we actually enjoy this TV show. Okay. let's talk about something that was cool, and let's talk about something a bit heartwarming, is we have Rihanna. Rihanna's a bit paranoid, obviously, with all everything that's going on, and her good old friend Kirby decides to just pass it over. Give her the individual immunity necklace. She's already had it twice. Kirby feels like she needs it a third time.
And that is exactly what she should have said when questioned about why she was passing this off. Or, Rihanna had it the last two. I wanted to get it 3 times. Or, you know what? No one ever passes off the necklace in Tribal Council in Australian Survivor. I don't think it's ever happened, actually, in Australian Survivor. I want to do it here to make that legacy, because we know what's happening here. Raymond's going out. Let's make a few more, like, notes for the history book. Yeah. Something like that.
A few more Survivor cliches. Survivor cliches. Bring it on.
A lot better than, oh, just some extra protection.
Do you think that sort of tips off, like, the old Titans, as if to say, like, oh, something might be up here. Like, why would you need protection? You know.
Absolutely.
A bit of a tell, yeah.
Definitely. It wasn't the greatest way to do it.
Even without the knowledge of this advantage, which is incredibly novel, so there's no chance that they would know about it or predict it, everyone knows Ferris has an idol. Like, if these guys really wanted to play up, like, and it would be, I think if there wasn't this advantage and they seriously just played Ferris's idol on Ray for this move... It would be the most villainous move because, like, that is not production creating the circumstance. That's them. But, like, that was a possibility that no one seemed to want to entertain.
And even after Kirby passes that along, she just slips it under her arm, passes it over to her, and it just did not work. It made no sense how she did it. She didn't make it a skeptical. This is a television show about skeptical, about making a sort of a show out of everything. And how she did it was as dodgy as she could possibly do it. And if the Titans didn't have a second thought about it, then they're stupid, right?
Well, I mean, we sort of see Valeria before the Tribal Council go to Mark and say, oh, you know, should we split our vote? Like, should we put a vote on someone else? Like, maybe not to just in case something happens, but to actually be the majority, but they can't get the numbers. So they're sort of thinking about it. I mean, I just think, why wouldn't someone just do it just in case? Like, does it have to be unanimous? Especially when Ferris is saying it must be unanimous. Like, he said it a few times. Is it a little bit of a, like a giveaway? But then it's such a unique advantage. Like, who would ever think this is even possible that, you know, he must get every vote, otherwise it won't work. So
You're right. They're barred for the fact that Ferris has an idol and could play it off Raymond. Like, this is the absurdity. Someone should have put a vote somewhere else. Regardless, and you're right, Ferris was selling this story about this is Raymond's dream to be unanimously voted out. Like, as absurd that is. There should have been antennas going up. Why is Ferris pushing so hard for it to be unanimous? What does it really matter? Okay, Raymond wants to go. That's nice for him, but I would also like to protect against the circumstance that this is some sort of ploy about the idol.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think what Kirby did was like good for, because Rihanna was sort of wavering, I guess, to not vote, mm-hmm. you know, with against Ray. So her vote would have sent him home. So I guess Kirby sort of shores that up, makes sure that the plan works, which, you know, was probably the best move, just to appease her friend. But what's with the whole subtle giving it to her? But like, yeah. Don't you have to announce it? Don't you have to like say, yeah, I'm doing this? Like, does that count as like sliding it to her? What if JLP didn't see and they go vote? Like, is she immune?
Well, I have a question for you, gentlemen, on this, because I can't recall, because I don't pay a lot of attention to this detail. But you guys are watching episodes a lot. You're watching them all the time. You're doing coverage. Has JLP ever said in Australian Survivor, Kirby, you've got the immunity necklace. Do you want to give it up? Like, that's what they do on American Survivor. Has he ever said that?
They used to say it back in American Survivor. They haven't said it for a long, long time. He hasn't brought it up, but the discussion has happened. I'm trying to remember. It was Contender, the season three, 2018, Contender, Champions versus one. Contenders. Yep, I'm trying to think who it was. And then it was also brought up with Luke Tokey on Champions Contenders 2 at Tribal Council. It was offered as a strategy, never gone with, but it was definitely offered as a strategy. So it is definitely welcomed in Australian Survivor, but it's never happened before. And, yep, we've got the first time it's happened, and it was given very, very subtly and very dodgy-like. However, one thing that I will say is you go into Tribal Council, Kirby's got it on, and then very, very close to the end, she just slips it over to Rihanna. Rihanna's then got it on. It's almost like a 2-for-1. You're like, oh, we can't really go for Kirby. She's got it on. It's mentally locked in your brain. And then you can't go for Rihanna because she's physically got it. So I can see the theory behind it. Obviously, in this circumstance, it didn't end up changing anything. But that could have come off a lot dodgier than it was.
Yeah, I guess if you're planning on voting for Rihanna and then she gets given the necklace, then I automatically you would just imagine that all votes would go to Kirby, the one that gave it away.
Yeah.
If it was someone else like who wasn't, you know, Rihanna's tightest alliance, who was not seen as Kirby, like this malleable person, maybe it would be a bit hard to make a plan like last minute, but I mean, we've never really seen it, so it's so hard to judge what would happen. I mean, let's bring up Eric Reichenbach if you want, but I don't know.
Let's not. That's been brought up to death.
I think what's interesting here, and this is a little bit of the production in Australia, they will let things happen in the real time if they think it's making interesting TV. If there's uncertainty about the rules. So basically in Australian Survivor, there is a benefit of asking forgiveness, not for permission. Examples, when that idol was passed, I think in Brains versus Braun, after someone got voted out, like you can't do that, but they'd done it and they're like, ah, let's keep it. That could be interesting TV. Or when Mark just broke that fucking box, like that wasn't what's supposed to have happened. Like all the freaking shit with the key and Mark just smashes the box open and they're like, yeah, whatever. That's fun. We like Mark. This is good TV. Let's roll with it. Here, same thing. So you know what? This sort of stealth necklace passing can make for more interesting tribal councils. So maybe we just let people stealth it around and whoever's wearing the damn thing is actually the immune one.
Like musical chairs. Whoever lands it.
Just, yeah.
It.
Musical chairs around, just confuse the shit out of your enemy. Who's going to end up with it? You can't make a plan. That's actually... hey, boys, if we're ever on Australian Survivor, the three of us, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll, like, Three Amigos style it, just pass it around, place to place, place to place. Then we'll have a hidden immunity idol as well, and we'll just throw it around between us.
What if you made a fake immunity necklace that looked exactly the same? So they don't know which one the real one is, and then you all three wear one. And it's like, well, who has the real one?
Or you just steal the one that the production has for when they have the double immunities.
Yes, yeah,
true.
Like the replica? Yeah. Another one here.
Well, in deep dives, we've heard of them stealing production's coffee and stuff like that. Why don't we just expand it? Let's go to individual immunity necklaces. That's so making the edit. Okay. Look, we did talk a little bit about Valeria and Mark, sort of Valeria saying, let's go for Raymond's, let's just do it. And Mark saying, no, we better not. Like, you got to think of your jury management, etc. Now, I would say Mark's probably had the best week he's had since Swap, realistically, since before Swap. Can either of you boys disagree with that?
I mean, I gave him a buff last week, so it wasn't a horrible week. He sort of, like I said last week, had a bit of a resurgence since the merge. Obviously, losing Valeria is going to be a big blow for him because that was his tightest ally. But as we sort of said last week with the voting blocks, to me it seems like the blocks with the numbers are the ones that are going to get targeted. So when Mark's block's now down to one, I think Mark's got some smooth sailing ahead. He can sort of jump around, I think, just between the blocks and just sort of find his place. Because he does seem that the man that everyone likes enough, and he seems workable. So, I actually think Mark's he's coming back into it, and to me he's a high contender for the win.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a great call. He is a lone wolf now amongst a number of pairs. He's very dynamic and adaptable and can make new relationships. Doesn't hold a grudge. I think you're absolutely right. And I think he sits as a threat level under your Ferris and your Kirby in terms of who do you not want to go to the end with. So I think he's got a couple of shields in front of him as well. And I think he agreed with Valeria that they shouldn't be voting out Raymond. He was just reflective of, we won't be able to get the numbers for it, so it's not worthwhile. But I do love Valeria wanting to go a bit, you know, old school fans versus favorites, where they drag Chet through like three or four votes when the guy just wanted to fucking quit and die. And they're like, nah, Chet, you're our number. You're sticking with us. We don't care if you want to leave.
Oh, that was so good. Look, Mark had a great week this week. Let's go back to episode 17. He pretty much flips Raymond. Now, obviously, there was some work done prior to this. And in this episode, we have three flippers, I believe, that we'll talk about. But he genuinely sort of anchors the Raymond flip and brings it in right at pole position, right at the end, when they would look going into that vote pretty much going to lose, whether they hit right or not.
Yeah, it was a great move at Tribal just to see. I guess Ray's sort of, like you said, looking to boost his resume. So, and Mark can probably sense that. So he gives him a name, and then Ray in turn gives Alex a name for the idol. So, yeah, it's really sort of, I guess, it livened up the Tribal, that's for sure. And I think we're at that point, we're talking about voting blocks, but now everyone just seems, it is voting blocks, but it's almost like if you don't have a resume, everyone's trying to do something. We see Kitty do the same thing this week, trying to swap sides. So I think there's a lot of moving and shaking left in this game because it does seem very fluid. So it's like, you, even as a lone wolf, not as a pair anymore, you can just jump around to wherever you like and just see, you know, just get through one vote at a time.
Yeah. Look, let's talk about these flips in this episode. CK, we've got Raymond that's flipped, we've got Kitty that's flipped, and we've got Alex that's flipped. Realistically. Now, Alex obviously being a bit more of a lone wolf, but he thinks he's had an alliance, and he's pretty much flipped over. Kitty is just in self-preservation mode. She thinks this is the right idea. And Raymond, who it's more a resume building sort of thing. Were any of these the right thing for these people to go by?
I think, firstly, for Ray, I don't think this one... I think if you actually read between the lines of some of his confessionals, this was actually, like, step one of his master plan that went into the next episode. Like, I think he wanted to do this, and now everyone hates me, and I'm so sad, I want to go... Like, that was the whole thing, right? Like, they didn't go into too much of the detail, but this was definitely step one of his master plan, which is actually really incredible. The fact that he didn't tell Ferris about this part is actually also really incredible, because then Ferris legit seemed actually fucking pissed off at him at the tribal council at the end when, like, Ray went up to him, he's like, oh, who did you vote for? And then he's like, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. I flushed Alex's idol. Jaden's gone. Who gives a shit about Jaden? He's not with us. Like, what's the big deal? And they're all like, you know what? You're right.
That's great. Mastermind Raymond. Good on him. Like, he started a two-part move.
And well, it sort of sowed the seeds, didn't it? So he did set up quite well, yeah. Genius.
Flushed an idol and took a spot from someone who might have taken his spot, someone like a Jaden.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Look, Jaden, I think in my power rankings, he was pretty close to the bottom. I don't think I did too well there because I pretty much felt like there's no need to get rid of a Jaden. He was going to either be fodder, a consolation prize vote, or he was making it to the final three. That was it. There was no other reason unless he somehow mammoths the immunities for the rest of the trip, but he was not winning those endurance ones. So
when you're a person that's not played a big game, the last thing you need is people that have played a smaller game than you.
That's it.
Right? Also, and that's what Raymond's position with Jaden was. Get rid of him. People are always going to take Jaden over Raymond. Because no one, as nice as he is, his lack of survivor knowledge was always going to hurt him when the jury is mostly filled with people who know and love the game.
Yeah, definitely. No, well said. Okay, let's get into... Okay, so Raymond, not a horrible move. Probably wouldn't have thought it as... I definitely didn't think it as a good move on the night. But seeing the episode 18, it works a bit better for me. I'm a little bit happier with it. All right, now we've got Kitty in this circumstance. Now, Kitty completely flips on her alliance. She flips by herself. Now, we do talk about flipping in a pair. Obviously, she has a pair with Caroline. She couldn't use that. Or she didn't use that. She didn't even look like she tried. Did we like this, Mac? Do we like Kitty flipping over to these people?
You know what?
Because it gave them the numbers, realistically.
Yeah, I actually didn't. I didn't mind it at all because I feel like, yeah, we say flip as a pair, but I reckon she can go back to Carolyn and still mend that relationship. I think her and Rihanna are a lot closer than perhaps the show's giving them credit for. I think Rihanna said it a few times, like, I love Kitty. They seem really tight since the swap days. So, and now she's like in with Kirby as well. So I don't think the move was bad. I think she could probably sense that the Titans were a bit of a sinking ship. But then they lose the Jaden vote as well. So she sort of flipped from the good side, like from the winning side to the losing side.
We did see her have a bit of an interaction with Kirby, obviously in the Eileen vote. She said that she's a bit scared of Kirby, but sometimes you got to play with people you're a little bit scared of. So there's definitely a relationship building there. She's had that pre-existing relationship with Rihanna. So she's not flipping into just a brand new alliance, not knowing anyone. I did quite like it because I did know she could go back at any stage. That's, I guess, how fluid this game is, that a single person can flip. One person that it did not end well for them from their tribal council conversations and from the sneak peek into next week's episode on Talking Tribal was Alex. Alex does flip alone. However, he has an idol. Is an idol a second person for flipping? Chris?
I guess yes, because he plays it. And he's, you know, look, there's been comparisons made from Alex to Simon, which I think is so incredibly apt. The way he votes wrong all the time, like all the time. He's always jumping the wrong way with alliances. He blows his idol here to save Valeria, thinking this is a great opportunity to build a new bond, and he did build that bond very quickly, like having an idol played on you by someone else, I think, does do that. And then she immediately gets frozen out by Ray's move. Like, it's exactly like Simon's, this Charlie Brown with the rug getting pulled under him all the time. I think his reasons Look, his reasons for flipping were valid, but also completely invalid. So they're valid in the sense that he's on the bottom of the Lions and he doesn't feel included, because he's not, because Ferris doesn't include him in what he's actually doing. But equally, as Ferris says after it, when he gives him that reasoning to Ferris in the next episode, Ferris is like, what? Like, that's your reason? Fucking grow up. Like, that I'm not talking to you enough. This is like Heroes versus Villains, where Coach is getting annoyed that Boston Rob isn't hanging out with him enough, right? Like,
yeah. Like, great comparison.
The fact is, if you don't feel you're involved enough with Ferris, go to Ferris and go, hey, mate, look, I just want to be a bit more involved, be more active in the discussions about what we're doing as a plan. And Ferris would be like, oh, yeah, look, no worries, mate, sorry. Look, well, what are you thinking for this one? Like, Ferris would know how to play that. I don't think he flipped himself into any sort of position where he's got a plan. And I think the fact is he's so shell-shocked by so many mistakes that he probably can't even trust his own gut anymore about what he should be doing. I imagine he is just absolutely just – and this happened with Simon in the prior season as well. They just run out of ideas and – you know, I think he felt safe with Mark. I feel like Mark's never probably let him down like everybody else has. And he sort of was like, hey, I'm going to go back with Mark. Because at least Mark makes me feel like I have a voice, which Ferris sort of fails to do a bit socially.
Yeah, I think that's spot on right there. Like, when you're at the bottom of the Rebels and they don't want you, and then you go over the Titans and you're like the hero there, they all love you, they're all chatting to you, they include you in every conversation, it makes you feel good. And you will probably want to be around those people more because they include you in plans and they need you, whereas the Rebels, they probably don't need you anymore. So it's hard to blame Alex for jumping sides. Like, do I think not being invited to the well is, you know, the best reason? Probably not. But when your whole alliance gets invited for a chat about strategy and you're left out, how are you supposed to feel about that? Like, in Ferris's point, that's poor alliance management on Ferris. So, you know, you have to manage everyone despite, you know, everyone's different personalities and stuff. You know, some people need to be included all the time. And, you know, he's getting that from the Titans now. So I don't blame him. I think he came up with one of the best lines of the season too, you know.
It was an incredible lie.
Does your ass get jealous of the shit your mouth talks? And I thought that was so funny.
The amount of shit your ass talks, I think. Okay, look, you're absolutely right. I think the other thing for Alex, if I was being a bit harsh with you before, but the thing with Alex, he got shell-shocked on the vote with Peter. He's been on the back foot ever since, and he's been playing to survive for a long time. He was pretty much doing that all the way up to the merge, and it very much in that fight-or-flight situation, I just need to get to vote, and I feel like when he got to merge, he didn't need to do that anymore, but he hasn't really gotten out of that mode. He's not thinking two or three steps ahead. He's still just thinking about how I survive day to day, because that is what he had to do for a month.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a very good observation, CK. That's really, really good. We obviously see that he now has Valeria on his side, and then obviously Valeria goes home. And as you said, Mac, I think, yes, it was a good move for him to vote because we get the line. Oh, where is it? I reckon your ass gets jealous of how much shit your mouth talks, eh? That is classic. Good. Iconic. That is good. That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets.
It's iconic, and it's Australian iconic. Like, you wouldn't get that on the American Survivor.
No.
Exactly. and for the jury, look, he plays an idol, it knocks out one vote. It's not good, it's not bad, it doesn't really affect his chances a whole lot. He's looking like a zero vote finalist to me.
I was so devastated though that Rihanna didn't read the audible, and I don't know if it's the edit, but she looked like she nodded when Kirby tried to whisper, because for the fact that they could almost pull off an audible at Tribal to flip it to Alex, right, when Kirby and Ferris are sitting at opposite sides of the Tribal Council, you've got Rihanna in the middle, Kitty's there, and Ferris is telling her, we're flipping to Alex, even though he's a freaking idol, and Kitty's only just started working with Ferris to trust that he's telling the truth. The fact that this was almost pulled off, am I wrong? Rihanna did vote wrong on this.
Rihanna voted wrong. Yeah, Rihanna votes Valeria.
Whereas if, yeah, so the fact that it all happened and Rihanna misplayed it is so disappointing because it was just another one of those fantastic moments of Ferris and Kirby reading the room, reading the situation, adapting on the fly and just completely outsmarting everyone else. And Rihanna just often, just let's be fair, just cocks these up on a regular basis.
And you can't even be angry about it because she was so far from everyone. The person sitting closest to her is Kitty, so you can't even get upset about it. But what the fuck happens if this actually gets pulled off? Like, it's a 5-5 vote. An idol gets flushed, so that's already awesome TV. Not to mention, we've had three flippers in this episode. Who flips back? You don't even know who fucking flips back, or if someone's like, oh, they don't sort of care because, it, like, Ferris doesn't care because it's Jaden, and, like, you just don't know. Like, anything could have happened. This could have been even better TV than it already was.
It would have been, because you're talking about it's Alex and it's Jaden, and no one is going to rocks for either of them, so you get multiple people flipping the other way.
Like, and then all of a sudden it's like even, and then they have to make a unanimous decision anyway.
Yeah, and then what, then they are going to rocks. I think they probably end up, if that happened, that you got
they go to rocks,
like, reflip. No, I think they agree. I think they all agree on Alex.
They all agree on Alex. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Ferris would be like, fine, we'll do Alex. And the title would be cool.
But then at the same time, neither side wants to lose, so you almost feel like you're going to get like one person hold on each side.
Yeah, but Ferris has already lost Alex here because they just voted for him.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know.
And he doesn't have Jaden.
Yeah.
Ah, that's sick. That's a great meta game. I love that.
Yeah, it would be good. Damn you, Riri.
Damn you, Riri. So let's move on. Let's stick with Alex just for a second and move on to another player, because I really want to get into Kirby. And Alex saying tough shit to Ferris at the Tribal Council, and then Kirby comes, backs him up. And I just want to say, Kirby revels in debate. She really does. She is incredible at really pissing off people. We've seen her do it to Garrick. We've seen her do it to Ferris. She's gotten into Eileen. She's made Eileen say the wrong thing previously in the season. And here, she just makes Alex look like an absolute tool at Tribal Council. He just looks like the big alpha male that's finally found his pack. And she just handles him so, so well. And there's no one scarier, because you can't argue with that. It's absolutely brilliant.
No, she's a good speaker. And like you said, Alex has been rattled for a while now, so he's probably the best person to go after, because you know that he can't really articulate a good response. Like, when she calls him a floater, like, he doesn't really have a comeback. And he's like, well, what are you? And what's Ferris? And then it sort of just gets lost, and he doesn't really have anything to say. So, perfect.
Well, I don't know if it gets lost. I think Ferris gave an incredible answer to that question. So it was, you took what Alex said in trying to target you in a way, and Ferris said, I'm not a floater. I am strong and I stick with my people, but I've also shown I can be flexible. And that's what you need to be in this game. So I don't
by not holding a judge.
Not holding a grudge. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was intended to be a tricky question, but what Alex actually gave Ferris was a layup. To slam dunk it. Let's put another slam dunk in.
but Kirby comes up to protect. Now this person is so scary in the game that let's bring it back to the start of the week. Now there's a lot that's happened, but let's bring it back to the start of the week, to the Eileen vote. And Kirby comes up with this plan. She wants to get the Titans back together, get them all on board. She's obviously given a home to Jaden, which is awesome. First of all, it's such a shame we didn't get to see that escalate a little bit more, because that was a match made in heaven. But she just starts discussing it. She starts discussing it with Kitty. Kitty literally has a confessional. Kirby fucking scares me. Well, doesn't say that, obviously, but Kirby scares me, but I'm going to work with her anyway. And then Valeria and Mark literally have the discussion. We don't trust Kitty. We don't trust Kitty. But she is in such a power position because they need her that they have to. They have to go with Kirby in this vote. And how she is dominating this game. Yes, she's been quiet last week. But how she is dominating this game. Have we seen someone play this sort of form that isn't a Boston Rob?
That was the person that came to my mind first. Like that really alpha dominance, the, you know, just sort of tell her how it is, but dictate everything. I thought, yeah, we haven't really, like, we have, but, like, George sort of does a bit like that, I guess. Like, he's very, like, direct with their approaches, which I do like. The way she sort of blackmails the Titans, like, if you guys aren't all voting together, I'm voting with the other side. So, yeah, really straightforward. This is how it is. Get on board. Otherwise, yeah, I'm not with you, and you'll lose. So, it's good to watch, for sure.
I think the Boston Rob comparison is amazing. And you know what? She probably doesn't even really know who Boston Rob is.
She has my understanding no idea.
Is that Kirby is not a super fan by any means. She may have watched the show. I'm not even sure if she's a recruit or not. But she's a recruit. Yeah, she's playing such an incredible game for someone who hasn't studied the game. And I think Boston Rob is an incredible comparison because she is so straight up with people. And she doesn't try and smooze people. Like that's some people's strategy. Like smooze you, use their charm, like use their charisma. That's what like David does. Like the great thing about David, and I'm a huge David fan. I love David, right? But David is actually, and anyone who has played with David, if you listen to their interview, says this, he's actually pretty like laid back and chill and reasonably quiet in camp, almost introverted. But you don't realize that because in the confessionals, which you get a bazillion of, he's just fucking out of control and like the biggest fucking character of all time. Whereas Kirby is the same person in her confessionals that she is when she's talking to the people in the tribe, and she's just straight up mafia bossing these people. Carolyn's the same to I think a very strong extent, but Kirby's just doing it like next level.
Yeah, definitely more of an apple. Like even like you think about, she's voted out Eileen and she's like to Ferris, I wanted you. She was in the way. Fucking, so I got rid of her. That's pretty much it. Like, how good? And it's like pretty much in those words straight to his face.
It was Ferris is like, yeah, you remove the wedge. Yeah. Excellent.
Remove the wedge.
It's crazy how this has worked because we saw this earlier in the season when Carolyn had the same issue with Viola, you know, with Viola and Mark. Oh, they're too tight. We need to break them up. So Mark's closer to us. And it's sort of, they're still there, but that backfires majorly. Whereas, you know, Kirby's just done the exact same thing to Ferris, says it to his face, and he's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, we're together now. And then they vote together. It's like, how has she managed to do this? Like, there must be just some great relationship skills there we just aren't seeing enough of, I guess, because she's so good. Like, everyone loves her.
They have been together since day dot. They've been at war. Then they've been able to reconcile and then sort of play their own games a little bit. Knowing how smarter players they are, they both know this, and they know that together they can do damage. I think that was an option, whereas it was too soon at the swap for Caroline to get Mark back on her side. Mark came out actually more loyal of a person than we sort of realised that he would be. Whereas Ferris is sort of understanding, and as he says, he doesn't hold grudges ever because he's playing a game. And when it's this, what we're at this stage, it's the 14th vote out. You've seen enough people go. It doesn't matter who the fuck goes, as long as you get to the end.
Ferris is a super fan sort of player. He's thinking at the level that people that, you know, analyze this game very carefully, that maybe play online games do. And what you really want to focus on, if you've experienced enough of this, is what he says precisely in the next episode. Great. Eileen's gone. I would have had to get rid of her at some point. I didn't have to write her down, name down. And now she's on the jury. And not is she the jury, she's the mayor.
Yeah.
And she can be my biggest advocate on the jury now. And I didn't even vote her out. I didn't even screw her over, which I probably would have had to do at some point, is what Ferris said. Like, for him, he's looking at the game like that. And that is the absolute perfect way to look at it. And Kirby knows Ferris will look at the game like that. So she knows she can make the move.
Okay, boys. Now, my winner pick, my favorite, the reason we keep coming back every week, obviously Ferris. The man can really fucking read people well. And, like, we see this hugely in the Caroline Kitty debacle at the Eileen vote. And he goes to Caroline. He knows she's lying. So then he goes to Kitty to get the information out of her. And it's really, really smart how he picks it up. He obviously knows something's going on, even at tribal council. It doesn't work. I want to see this from another view. I want to bring this from your guys' outside perspective. I want to talk about, is it in Caroline's best interest to go and work with Ferris at this time, at this vote?
I think if you look at it narrowly, maybe, but I think ultimately this actually is Caroline's best move, because Ferris is coming to you and saying, I want to have a secret alliance with you and with Kitty. But you know you're like the back burner alliance, and he's still got Raymond and Eileen, right? So, yes, and Ferris has made it very clear that he is flexible and he won't hold a grudge. So if Ferris actually does want to work with you, then it's actually better to remove an Eileen so that Ferris actually now has more incentive to work with you in perhaps a more real way than being his back burner alliance.
Look, I like what you're saying there. I just want to throw it back at you a little bit, just from Caroline as a player. Now, Caroline as a player is quite a sensitive soul, and she's just fucked him over at the vote last week. Okay? So she's just fucked him over at the Eden vote, which he's picked, which he read like a book. And now this is almost the last chance to sort of reconnect between the two of them, okay? She had this awesome thing with him that she really, really liked and she wanted to go with, and then she's like, no, I've just had to go against him last vote. This isn't the second chance to do this. This is the second chance to build something with him. He's a great shield for her to have. Are you sure that this isn't the best move for her?
I just don't think anyone playing here cares about holding a crutch. They'll just do what's the next move and the next move and the next move, and no one's going to be worried about what happened last week. It's why the format works really well, because like by the time you get around to the next Sunday, most people have forgotten what happened last week anyway, so it's sort of like, oh, yeah, it's like a fresh slate.
No, definitely, definitely. Yeah, like obviously she had the option to like tell him Eileen slippers. So then he could play the idol. I just want to know, Mac, also, like, could she have started the war again? Like, Kirby going after Ferris's right-hand person, does this start the war again? Could this have worked in a Caroline, a Mark's favour?
Potentially, if she told, well, Ferris before the votes that Kirby's coming after her, because, I mean, Ferris sort of sensed it. He's like, oh, why are they all so confident? But he doesn't know that Kirby's sort of on their side. So, yeah, maybe you could put that into him, a bit of paranoia, and then when it eventually happens, the war's definitely on. But then, you know, he forgives Kirby so quickly. So I think they don't want to start this war again. I think that Ferris and Kirby are both happy to work together now. So, yeah, I'm not so sure. I think maybe Carolyn staying with Mark and Valeria, having a solid four where there's people that they might be able to pick up, is probably maybe the best way forward, which is what she chose.
Yeah. Perfect.
Well, but I loved the moment at Tribal Council. Another amazing moment from Ferris, where he's like, "Kirby's up to something," but he just and he's got the idol, and you tell he's thinking about it. But he's like, "She's up to something. She's maybe voting one of my people. Probably not me. I can't pick if it's going to be Raymond or Eileen. So I'm just going to sit on my idol." I reckon that's what went through his head.
Definitely. Just sit on it and just like, it's not going to be me. Is it Raymond or Eileen? If I lose one, I'm going to have to vote them out eventually. And that's the great super fan in him that you've talked about earlier. He's playing it very smartly. And it's like, I think it was last vote, he was like, oh, if either of you hit Raymond or Eileen, like there's going to be a war. But he was almost accepting that he was probably going to lose one of them.
He's just posturing.
Anyway, okay. Let's hit it up with Previously on Survivor, Mark.
Previously on Australian Survivor.
What have I got? I have Caroline straight up goes next episode. Then I feel like Ferris has to lose an Eileen. And then Rihanna gets voted out for Challenge Beast. Done. Boom. Easy. Bad. Well, that's bad. I got one. Like, one out of three. That's not great, but it's pretty much as good as I've gotten in the Australian Survivor season. Because everyone that you think staying goes home, and everyone you think that's going home gets to the fucking end.
Yeah, look, it's been tough. You got Eileen, which is great. I mean, Carolyn's always on the block, so I could see that. And Rihanna, you know, you said she was a challenge beast. She's won another, what, two necklaces this week? Maybe three if you include Kirby's. So, yeah, I can see.
I know Kitty got it, so she got one. Then Kirby gave it. So, yeah, look, she's definitely a challenge beast. It's obviously she was that scared just from... even though all the votes were going to Raymond, that who knows for next week? We might talk about that soon. How about yours? What did you say?
Let's see what I said. Yeah, I think the Rebels will stick together for one vote, and maybe that could be it. So the one vote they'll have will be surely on someone that everyone can unite against in Kitty.
Yeah.
But then I see a flip, a new voting block. Something will happen where it will just change. For some reason, someone else will go. And I'm going to say Kirby goes. And then they vote out Raymond. They go Raymond. Yeah. So, wasn't the best. Like, yeah, not right. I mean, Ray got all the votes, so maybe that's a tick. I did say voting blocks. How
funny. That's not a tick. That is literally... holding on to straw for a tick.
What do we mean? An advantage saved him. So how far off the mark was I?
That's so bad. I don't want to get into this.
It's a tick. It's tick for me.
I'll say voting box. I'm extremely correct there. It's so fluid.
Yes,
now.
Definitely.
Who knows what's
happening? We talked about that last week.
Yeah, I know, but it's come to fruition even more. So
yeah.
All right, let's have a look forward to next week on...
Next time on Australian Survivor.
And what do we think's happening? CK, what have you got?
I have no idea. It's impossible to predict. But I would say these people are going to get voted out. Kitty, because she has no edit. Rihanna, I think there'll be a move to weaken Kirby, but they won't take out Kirby because that's not what they do in this season. They'll just take out your right-hand man. There'll be a non-limb, though. So I reckon there's a non-limb. I reckon the non-limb is Rihanna, and I reckon she probably comes back in the game in whatever challenge it is. And then we're going to have Rihanna. We're going to have Rihanna on limb. We've got Kitty going, and I would say Alex. Those are the three that will go next week.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, Mac, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Ray is certainly, he's going next week. I just can't see him coming back from this. I'm putting Ray up. I think Mark and Alex might take over the game here. They're both sort of free agents. All they need is one of the two pairs to join with them, and then they have the numbers. So, of the three pairs, rather. So I reckon Mark and Alex are in a great spot. So I'm going to go Ray. I'm going to go Carolyn because surely she's got to go at some point. She's been on the block for so long. And I'll go Rihanna unless there's a non-limb. So Carolyn, Rihanna, and Ray for me.
Okay, I'm going to go. So Raymond was a great shout for me, and I already sort of thought that he was going to go at seven. I mean, at seven. But then I also thought, is he the right person to want to go at seven? So I've got Kitty going first episode back, a non-limb, and then Rihanna going at seven in my mind.
So we're very similar, and you and I.
Yeah, very, very similar. I loved what you said. But yeah, I'm pretty much betting on that non-limb. I want that tick. I want that tick for me. I want two in 1 week, please.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if the first one, like you end up with like a battle with Rihanna and Kitty for some sort of battle back or something.
Yeah.
Just the way the two of them have been built up as challenge beasts.
Yeah, could definitely say that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Old versus the new.
Mm.
That'd be sick. They're both fucking tanks. Like, they're both fucking whippet at these challenges, these endurance challenges. Good on them.
Yeah, they're incredible.
And Valeria, she was very, very gifted. Talking about Valeria, let's bloody eulogize some people. Let's talk about them. Okay, let's rank these guys as players. Let's rank them as characters. Think of any memorable moments we got, and will they return? I'm going to kick us off with Jaden, just because of the entertainment value. As a player... I'm going to skip past that. I'm going to go on to character. As a character, goddamn, I loved him. Loved every second of him on my TV screens. It would be cool to see him back, but at the same time, I feel like it's going to be the exact same product. His memorable moments, I think he says that same line. I'm just going to have my rice and beans and just eat. That's my memory for him.
That was a great impression, but you need to be very careful about doing impressions for Jaden on these shows, as I'm sure you guys are aware.
Can come after us.
Yeah.
Okay, no, dude, he was an absolute legend, and yeah, will he return? I don't see him returning. I hope you enjoyed yourself on Survivor, Jaden. This Survivor holiday is now, well, it's not over, you're on the jury, so lucky you. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, look, as a player, look, he had the Eden move, which was, you know, something to add to his resume. Like, it wasn't horrible. The fact that he did something should be enough for him. As a character, I loved him. Like, we had a big talk about him, well, maybe 2 weeks ago. And he's just such a fun guy. He's so funny. The way he dominated the challenges is rare to see someone that dominant, which I love to see as well. All around, I just enjoyed him on the TV. As a recruit, this is what we want. Someone who maybe doesn't know the game, but is just a fun character to watch. So had everything for me. Big tick for Jaden. I loved him. Will he return? No. So.
Seeker.
As my very good friend Annabelle of Melbourne Survivor that I played with and, of course, of Traders fame, moved on from me to new bestie Luke Tokey, so she's very cool. As she said on Twitter very early on in the season, having this gentle giant himbo is actually fantastic and works when you have so many other strategic super fans on the cast. Like, it's just a breath of fresh air. I love the super fans, but it's good to have just someone there who's enjoying himself, giving a different vibe. You don't want 24 strategic super fans. My favorite moments was in the holding the weight challenge, where after it finished, he just did a few more press-ups with it, just to show how much longer he could pull ups, how much longer he could go, which was forever. And you know, this one's for winner, mate. He is quite hilarious, even though I think only the super fans who follow the additional content would understand why he gave such a shit about winner, because I'm sure you guys know they had a pre-game relationship. So like, but it was a great little moment. I loved that. And frankly, I think what I loved most about him, really early on, people talking about, oh, he just votes for the last person someone says, or he's not really playing the game, and all those sorts of things. And I think that was very true. But equally, I just loved, and they're saying, oh, I think he's a really loyal player. And but he voted for Nathan. Isn't he besties with Nathan? Like, what is going on with this guy? And I think even though he didn't know the game, he knew it was a game. Yeah. And he didn't have the sentimental attachment that the super fans do about, oh my God, if I vote out Eden, he's not going to make the jury. Oh my God, what am I doing to Eden? Like, it's going to devastate him. Jaden just has none of that information. So he's like, oh, it's a game. We vote people out. Oh, we're voting Nathan. Oh, I like Nathan, but whatever. But Nathan, sure. Like, what does it matter? Who cares? He goes out. I'll go out eventually. It's just part of the game. He just had that, like, no sentimentality to the moves. He just made the moves and wrote the names and whatever. And I just love that about him. I thought that was refreshing.
It was. It was definitely, definitely refreshing. He was a gift to our TV screens. And I don't have TikTok, but who knows, maybe I'll pick it up now. Well, technically the podcast has TikTok, just not me. Okay, let's get into Eileen. Now, Eileen was a favorite of mine coming into this season. I think she looked like she could be strategically very, very strong, and I think that has been proven. She definitely had a lot of strategies. She was overshadowed by Ferris, so we didn't see exactly which ones were hers, but as we heard about in the first episode of this week, she was Ferris's editor. Ferris had come to her with a strategy, and she would edit it and make it better. So I very much think, as a player, she had wits for the game. As a character, I really didn't mind her as a character. I enjoyed it. She didn't pop. She didn't explode. There weren't amazing one-liners, but she had a lovely smile, and she put it on occasionally, and she was very serious when she talked strategy, which was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, Ferris's right-hand man. I probably have the opposite opinion to Jaden. Like, as a player, I thought she was fantastic. As a character, I didn't like her. But yeah, really good chops of the game, has a good sense. Have a really good partnership with Ferris. They sort of, not that they dominated their tribe, because they didn't, but they just worked well together. I guess a memorable moment is probably the tribal council, where it's just those two votes that make the difference in that challenge thing. And then when she won the challenge to save herself the next episode. So she had a good week back then. As a character, just didn't pop off the screen enough. The confessionals weren't fire or anything. And she didn't get a whole lot of confessionals either, despite you know the good game she was playing. Will she return? Potentially, because she does have, like, I feel like there's a fan base out there for her. It's not just me. It's not me in particular, but there is people there who love her, so she might come back one day.
Yeah, I'd love to see her. Love to see her. How about you, CK? What are your thoughts on Eileen?
Similar view. I don't think she's an incredible character. They try to paint her a bit like the audience. Like, they did a few of those office cutaways where she, like, looked at the camera earlier on when people were doing silly things. So as a result, they wanted to paint her as a bit of the straight man and a straight woman in terms of being the non-comedic force or the non-entertaining force. And look at all these silly people that are around me, which because they did that, that meant that she didn't get a lot of pop confessionals. But I don't think she really had them either. I think she was very focused on the game. I think she very much wanted to play a very strong strategic game. I think she did that. I think Ferris has given her a lot of credit on social media, even for moves that sometimes the show's given him. He says that she was a very much a partnership and she was playing an excellent game. And I think they did try and show us that a bit, but they did probably lean into Ferris a bit more with some of it. But I think she was incredible. My favorite moment with her, and I didn't even notice this in the real time, but it popped up in social media after the fact. When this was the Eden vote, I believe, where again, they called an audible and did it on the fly. And Alex comes over to Ferris to find out anything. He says, what the fuck is going on? And Eileen put her hand up to cover Alex's mouth because Alex wasn't covering his own mouth. So the Titans couldn't see what Alex and Ferris were saying. And that, well, she's looking the other direction while she does it in the still that did social around social media. And I thought that was such an amazing moment for her and just the sort of thinking player she was, always thinking and always covering up some of these bigger players that might be making a mistake here or there.
Yeah, definitely. Look, another example of that was earlier this week when she, you know, on her vote episode, is when after she's called the editor, Ferris comes back and says how he's just organized a secret alliance with Caroline, and he's smiling and he's overjoyed, and she's like, bloody stop smiling. You look sus. Yeah. Like, stop smiling. You look sus.
Yeah.
And it's just great. Like, just that next level of thinking that the truth is, I think I'd even struggle. And, like, I do this every week. So, and I, like, break this shit down every week. I'd struggle to hold that in sometimes.
Oh, when I played the LRG, you know, everything I thought I would be doing, everyone, the player I thought I could be, when you get out there and the emotion of it all, and that's just a 2-3 day game, like, it's very hard. Very, very hard. So you can't underestimate how impressive it is for someone like her to be so cool, calm, and collected at all times. It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, talking about cool, calm, and collected, let's get on to our third eulogy of the week. And let's get on to Valeria. And Valeria, what you would have thought is the pretty model TikTok star, I'm guessing, like coming out week one in that blue fluffy jacket. Oh my goodness, I have loved her on this season. As a character, she has been authentic. She has been full on. She has been brutal. I could probably think of another 10, 20, 30 descriptive words for her. It has been amazing to have her on. And as a player, I really didn't dislike her. Yes, I guess flexibility probably wasn't her strong suit. And when she didn't like someone, they knew it. But she was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch. Memorable moments, obviously, the wolf story. I think if anyone's got a better one than that, I'd be very genuinely shocked. And will she return? Please, God, yes. Please come back to our TV screens. We would love to have you on. And I think Australia Survivor would love to have you on as well.
Yeah, I love her too. Like, I was just since the merge, I actually thought she was winning the game, but wasn't to be. Got done by a twist, I guess, in a way. Yeah, great character. I love people that just get emotional at tribal council when they just start yelling at people. We don't see it often enough because it's not the correct way to play, but when you do see it, it's so much fun to watch. So I loved her. As a game player, she was good, man. And like, you look back at when the tribe swap, the way she ingratiated herself in the Rebels tribe, everyone loved her, was never targeted there. So I just think she had really good chops for the game. Will she return? Look, she's a you know, international model who's probably got bigger things than Survivor to do. So I don't think she would, as much as I'd like her to. I don't think we'll see her again. But
she seems like she had fun. She seems like she had fun, man.
No doubt she did. But I'm sure she has fun, you know, modeling for a day, getting more money than the whole probably Australian Survivor's worth, and you're not getting dirty and you know, not fed and stuff. So I'd love to see her, but I doubt it.
How about you, CK?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic character. I think there's something about, and maybe this should be considered more, bringing on people that have grown up in a different culture and therefore having a different perspective on how you interact socially with other people. And Liz was a bit like this as well. And obviously there's something, and people keep saying this, it's just the way people are in Russia. It's just the people way they are in Eastern Europe, that you are blunt and to the point, and you don't need to sugarcoat people's feelings, and you just be honest and upfront about how you're feeling. And if someone's doing something that you don't appreciate, that's the way of life, and it's the way people behave in their society. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with the way we behave in our society, where everyone tries to be really nice to each other all the time. In fact, a fun thing about our society is that everyone lies to each other all the time, and we're so used to it. It's part of the thing that makes it difficult for autistic people, because they don't understand the subtleties of micro lying, which is what we do all the time, which is, do I look good in this? Have you had a good day? No, I've had a fucking horrible day, but you don't want to hear that answer. So I'm just going to say, yes, I've had a good day. Do I look good in that? You look great, because you can't go and change it now. Like, we're already out. Like, we do this all the time. And that's the societal nicety of our society. But different cultures do their society a different way. And I think this is showing that there's a real value in getting in these people that come from different cultures that just have a different approach to how they interact with people. Because it's interesting to learn, but it's also interesting for the game of Survivor to have these different interactions.
Well said, fuck.
And will she return? Will she return? No, but I think her and Viola will be on the next season of The Amazing Race.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. okay. All right. Look, Valeria, you were loved. You were loved by all three of us. And it's been a good week for Boots, to be truthful. This has been a pretty good week, I think. And we've got a pretty good week of Boots next week and the week after, I think. We've got a lot of great casts still left in this game, which is cool. Talking about the great casts that are still left in the game, let's get to my favourite part of the episode, Buckle's Buff of the Episode. And we got 9 buffs to give out this week, and I'm going to kick it off with our guest because it is his birthday. You can give the first buff. Who was your favourite player from episode 16, mate?
First episode of the week, it's got to be Kirby. Absolutely nailed that move. Got rid of Ferris's right-hand man, setting up her end game, working with Ferris. She's got her right-hand man, but she's lost Scott at this point, so she doesn't have 3, she's only got 2. Got to get Ferris down to 2 and even them up a bit more so they can work together. Love that move.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I've also gone Kirby. She makes the whole plan for the Rebels to split their votes and to get Titans to go strong with Jaden and Kitty. She gets Jaden as a number for her now, so sort of builds her block up with Rihanna, so she's got a 3 to work with. And she's sort of in a spot where she can flip and flop, which she sort of does throughout the week. So Kirby gets a buff, episode 16.
And I get to be boring, but happy birthday, CK. I'm going to give Kirby another buff just for you. and you guys have already explained it. I don't need to say any more. Okay, and then we come into episode 17. I'm going to chuck my buff at Mark. Okay, he's already on top of the leaderboard. Let's give him a little bit more and give him a buff for this episode. I think he handled Alex very, very well. I give him props for Alex flipping over and having a safe space to come to. I also believe that he definitely helped with the Raymond substantial. Even though CK sort of changed my mind a little bit with maybe Raymond had a bit more going on behind the scenes, I think Mark definitely concreted that in and, again, gave him a safe space to talk. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, well, we podcast together and share a brain, so I've also got Mark. I thought it wasn't clear cut. I did think it was hard to pick someone, but I went with Mark for all the reasons you said. Tells Ray the plan, gets Alex on side. He's laying a bit lower since the merge. Like, his threat level isn't going up like other people's. Like, it is still quite at a good level, which takes some skill. So, yeah, he's in a decent spot. So, Mark gets the buff.
Yeah. CK, how about you, Mark?
You've already alluded to it. For me, it's going to go Razor. What a move from him to start his two-part plan. He sets himself up to be in a depressive state because he's all sad about what he did. He betrayed Ferris and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, he blew Alex's idol and removed Jaden, who was potentially going to take a spot from him as sort of an endgame lower player. So all in all, a massive and solely his move. Like, no one else can claim that move. He can claim Jaden's scalp, and there's a good reason for it. Love that.
Okay. I'm gonna chuck this at episode 18. I know you guys might not agree with this. I'm gonna give this to the person that comes out the best from this. And I think it's Ferris. I don't think his reputation's hurt at all. No one gives a shit that he's lying, that he was supporting Raymond. He was just helping out with the move, helping out with a friend. I think Raymond cops a lot of the brutality of this, and Ferris gets away next to scot-free. So I'm giving this to Ferris. Valeria goes out. That is someone that he is not working with and will never work with. Probably the only person on the cast that he will never work with. So I give it to him. How about you, CK?
I think that's all very fair, but I'm going with Johnny Fairray for this move. in the end of the day, you're probably right. It's probably not going to work out well for him in the long term, but he's turned himself from a nothing player to someone that will always be remembered for something. He now has a chance of being called back because he's done something. I'm sure he's happy about that. And it was an hour and a half dedicated to him pretending to be sad, and he pulled it off incredibly. And, you know, you can not like it, whatever, but you can't say he didn't. Absolutely. Like, put the ethics to one side, he unbelievably played that role.
Definitely he did. He did. I agree. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, despite what I think of how it all went down, it's hard to give it to anyone, really, including Ray, but I'm going to go with Ray for the reasons CK just mentioned. Sometimes in Survivor, no, all the time in Survivor, maybe not all the time, many times in Survivor, you know, trying to win is not a valid strategy because you just can't do it. Like, not everyone can win. So you need to be memorable. You want to be the character. And I respect the characters more than the players in many ways. So Raymond's now elevated himself into this, you know, maybe the biggest villain of all time for Australian Survivor. Like, we don't know. But he's done something to elevate himself above everyone else. As bad as it may seem, I have to give him props for that. And, you know, he chose who to vote out, so he has full control of the vote. Buff goes to Ray.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Raymond actually gets his first points this week, which is quite exciting. But we'll start at the bottom of the leaderboard. So we've still got Rihanna on one. With her is Garrick and Jaden, who again goes home this week. Then on 2 points, Kitty's the only person still left in the game. As we lost Eileen, Charles has already gone home and Eden went home last week. Raymond jumps from 0 to 3 to join Caroline on 3 buffs, which he also joins Scott and Valeria, who again went home this week. Kirby jumps up to outright 3rd with 5 buffs. Ferris is at 7 buffs. And Mark jumps and extends his lead that little bit to 10 buffs.
Running away with it.
Running away with it. All right, CK, mate, you've given us your birthday afternoon. We are very, very honoured. This was the most excited I was for a pod, possibly all season, even though we've got some pretty big names, so I can't say that. But, mate, you were great on the Orca pod. Can you tell us more? Tell us where people can find you. Tell us what you got coming up, mate.
Okay, so there's a wonderful, on the socials you want to look for is Live Reality Games. It's not just me. It's pretty much a social podcasting network dedicated to all of the live reality games that occur all over the world, of which there are many, many, many. But I am focused on the Australian ones, and we form part of their network, and you can easily find the Orca podcast there. And so if you're interested in playing an Australian LRG, if you're interested in watching an Australian LRG, our content is there, whether you watch one that was filmed 3 years ago, whether you watch one that's going to come out next year. We'll do it in the live time. But if you're watching an old one, you want to see some commentary on about it, you want to hear what people say about the players as it was happening or as we've done with our redo rank downs right now, it's all there to analyze those opinions and see what people have to say, and you can share your opinion and see if you can align that. And that's people that are into watching Survivor LRGs are probably the ones that listen to podcasts about Survivor. So what's one more podcast you can listen to about it? And that's what we're doing. And honestly, the LRG community is incredible. It's a fantastic thing to do. You will meet people that love Survivor. You will make lifelong friends. You will always remember the game you played. So if you're interested at all about playing Survivor, but you're not going to do the real thing, or you're not going to get cast in the real thing,
you need to scratch an itch.
Look at one of these LRGs and you will get the experience of playing. And then through my podcast, you will get the experience that they get after the game, post-game interviews, talk about the game, everything about it. Check us out. The more people that support it, the more people we can get around the LRG community, the absolute better.
No, that's sick, mate. Mate, you do great things for the community. As someone new to the LRG community, you're a great bridging into the community. So thank you for everything that you're doing for us. And yeah, thank you for giving us your 40th birthday, mate. It's been
no worries at all. Couldn't think of a better way to spend it.
Cheers, mate. Mac, what do you got going on? What do you got going?
Big weekend, anniversary weekend. So my wife has something planned for that, I hope. yeah, we'll end up somewhere. On the podcast front, our US Survivor podcast, episode 1, season 46, is out now. Came out a little bit later than expected after the big weekend, but that's out. So check that out. If you're listening to this, you'll love that. And that's me. What about yourself, Buckles?
I got absolutely nothing going on. However, I am catching up with James Wolf, with Wolfie. Me and him are chatting episode 2, US Survivor, coming this weekend. And then other than that, I got jack shit going on. So get us.
Hang on. Do you know that Wolfie is the orca, right?
Yeah.
We're named after him.
I know.
Yeah, it's the OG orca. We're named after the OG orca coming on. That's so exciting.
Yeah, the OG orca, James Wolf, coming on episode 2 of US Survivor.
So enjoy the pod without me this week for US. I'll be back for Aussie next week with, was it Leah Jacobson?
Leah Jacobson coming up. Yeah. Hit us up at Survivor Buffs, one side of banter on Facebook. Get us on Instagram at Survivor_3BS, on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. Get us on TikTok at Buffs, Blindsides and Banter. I've been Buckles. He's now 40. He's been Mac. You've been awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Buckles. Always.
Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.